want to begin by saying thank you to everybody who hung with us last weekend. That was a long service. That's very different. I enjoyed it, and I tell you what, I got a lot of good positive feedback. It seemed you guys really enjoyed the opportunity we had and this opportunity we had to share and to pray. One of my concerns and one of my things about 40 days of prayer is I want to pray. We don't want to just study, or we want to pray. And so, and that's kind of what we wanted to do with that service, to kind of set the stage. And just as a quick reminder, we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be talking about that. But this Saturday at 5, I'll talk about it again at the end during our announcements, we're going to have a special service called a healing service. You may need some healing. Maybe there's a broken relationship that you want healing about, and we're going to pray about that, and you can have an opportunity to come and pray about that. Or maybe you need a physical healing, or a body healing, or a health, or finances, or something mental's going on, and you just need some healing. And so we're going to have a healing service. I've been really looking at this. I am a healer. We're going to talk about it that night. You're not going to come. I'm going to lay my hands on you. God gave me that power. I'm going to tell you, God has the power, not me, okay? And so we're going to have a healing service, and so we're going to just give that opportunity, and we've been working out some details on that because we want to pray and not just talk about prayer, okay? Then also the following weekend, the 16th, we're going to pray for Salida. So I'm inviting all of you down here at 9 o'clock, the 16th. Come on down to the church. We'll start here. Some of us that have the energy are going to walk around Salida. We're going to walk down to the train tracks, down the train tracks to Chickarelli, up and around, all the way around this side of Salida. It takes about 3 hours, and some of us are going to do that. Some of you are going to go, don't you like this? Going to go and pray at the schools and pray for the schools. We're going to invite you to, and I have asked others to kind of lead and take you to the schools and maybe just stand in the parking lot or stand by the flag and pray for our school. I'm going to ask some of you to maybe walk straight down Broadway or maybe drive down Broadway and pray for the businesses here in Salida. Or maybe you just want to drive down your street, and I got papers on the back there that you can just pick up and it'll tell you exactly how to pray. Because one of the things you're going to say is, I don't know what to pray for. Anybody? I don't know what to pray for. So guess what? I made you papers. You know? And so there's papers back there. And so we want to pray for Salida. I believe prayer makes a difference. I believe God moves when his people pray. Anybody else? Nobody's saying amen to that. You guys ought to be embarrassed. All right? God moves when his people pray. Amen. You know, and he does. And so I want to pray for Salida. And so I'm excited. And good things are happening. I mean, I'm excited. I got a half a dozen people talking about baptism. I'm getting all that details worked out. I haven't had a chance to test that. Before I roll that thing up here and fill it full of water, I want to make sure it don't leak. So I'm going to fill it up outside. And it was kind of wet this week, so it didn't get a chance to do that. And so we're trying to work all that. I'm excited at what God's doing. And, you know, right now, things seem to be going really well. I mean, the economy's kind of flowing pretty good. People are getting jobs back, although I don't think, you know, I think we've got jobs, but they're not like they used to, different kind of job now. And things are changing. And yet, you know, things are really positive, but there's a lot of negative stuff going on. I mean, you turn the news on and there's another shooting here, or there's this event or this situation, and there's just lots of negative stuff going on. And I want to just kind of think about that kind of stuff for a minute. I got on and I Google. Anybody else Google? Anybody go to Google? You know, that trustworthy resource? You know? And so I typed in, needs healing. And I got some really interesting response. And one of them says, we're at a low time low of trust. That we don't trust one another. We don't trust the media. We don't trust the government. We got all this no trust going on. And PBS did a whole show on the lack of trust that we're feeling in America right now. And then I found this National Review, this magazine called National Review, had this, and I thought, this is so true. America can't heal itself. I go, America can't heal itself. Can anybody heal themselves? We need a God, don't we? We need the God. We need our Lord Jesus Christ, who stands in our place and stands between us and God. And we need that. But God does want to heal. God does want to move. And so this morning, I kind of want to set the stage for what we're going to do on Saturday, all right? So this is kind of like a two-part series. And so we're going to kind of set the stage, and then Saturday we're going to come and we're going to spend some time praying. And I'm going to tell you right now, Saturday at 5 is going to be prayer. We'll probably talk about 15 minutes kind of setting the stage for what we're going to be doing. But the whole time is going to be prayer. So the service could be 15 minutes over because nobody wants prayer. I don't know. Or it could go an hour. It could go 2. I don't know. Because I want to pray. But we're going to pray for healing. Healing for us personal as individuals. Healing for our nation. Healing for marriages. Anybody? Healing for relationships and broken families. You know, we want to pray for healing. Healing financially. Our bodies. You know, the other day I was sitting down, I got up, and I was just going, and I was just getting up. You know, even though you just sat down for an hour, it still hurts to get up. You know, health healings. You know, we want to pray for healing. And I want to make sure you know, God wants to heal us. God's desire is to heal us. God's desire is to move in our lives. And I'm going to read a verse here that God wrote some 3,000 years ago, all right? He wrote it to a man named Samuel. God didn't literally write it. He gave it to the writers 3,000 years ago. And here's what they say. Get it out of your outline right there. You can kind of follow along. There's some blanks to fill out. And we're going to have a good time as we look at this. Now, listen to what he says here. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. You see the picture? He's saying, he's telling Samuel thousands of years ago, there needs to be a healing in the land. God needs to move in the land and touch lives and touch hearts and touch leaders and nations. God needs to move in this land. And here's how it's going to happen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. Then I will move into their land. And I want us to think about that, but I'm going to pull out four things in a minute. I'm going to pull out the four conditions. But I want to begin with these first two little points right here. The first one says, my people. Go back. My people. This is not a promise to everyone. God's not standing on the corner out here at the train tracks in Salida saying, I will heal your land, everyone. God is saying, if my people. Now, who is God's people? Who are the people of God? It's those who, you hear me talk in this church, there's an invisible line. God was all my life. I can tell you, I never doubted there was a God. I always believed there was a God. I always knew there was a God. I always knew the Bible was God's word. I do not remember a time in my life. You know, I was dragged to church as a kid. Anybody been dragged to church as a kid? You know, I was dragged to church as a kid, sent to church camp as a kid. I always knew there was a God. But I'm going to tell you, there was a time when I was 17 years old that I didn't just know there was a God. I knew there was a God living in me. That there's an invisible line that you have to take a step across. And in this church, you hear me say this for 30 some odd years now. You got to reach a point in your life where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do it yours. Come in my life and take control. That's what makes one a Christian. Not because my grandfather was a Brush Arbor preacher. You know, not because my great-grandfather was a preacher. I didn't know all that. I didn't even know what a Brush Arbor preacher was. But you got to reach a point in your life. That's how you become part of the family of God. Anybody on board with that? He says, this is how you get my people. My people. My people are the ones who hear this. My people is my family, is what he says. Here's how Jesus said it, because Jesus dealt with this. Listen how Jesus did this. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother? And who is my brother? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. See, this promise is given to those of us who God lives in our heart. Anybody? Those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want it your way. Come into my life and take control. When you cross that line and you become that believer, you are inherited into the family of God. Does that make it sense? So if you want to get healing, now listen real careful. If you need a healing in your life, it's got to start here. You got to cross that invisible line. If you're not a believer in God and you're not part of God's family, I'm going to tell you what. Sorry to say, you're not going to get healed. Isn't that what it says? People. But then it goes on, if my people who are called by my name. By my name. You know, if I want, I went to a place last night. I had a crab feed last night. I got to eat crab last night. Somebody gave me tickets, okay? You know, I can't afford a $50 ticket for crab, but, you know, so we had crab feed. We pull into the parking lot, and the first question the lady asks is, why are you here? And it's like, I'm here to eat crab. Why do you think I'm here? Well, some people are trying to sneak in. Why are you? I didn't know who had given me the tickets. I didn't know what event I was going to. I had to pull the ticket. I said, I'm here for this. He goes, okay, now you can go in. I'm going to tell you, that's how it is with God. How do I get into God? Well, God, it's Gary. Gary's here, God. Knock, knock, knock. No. I'm knock, 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 knock. Jesus sent me. Is that okay? I'm here in Jesus. I don't have the credit to do this. You know, we're looking at this healing service, and here's my concern. I grew up in the late 60s and the 70s, and I remember faith healers coming to town. Anybody remember faith healers coming to town? You know, I remember faith healers coming down, and I always struggled with that. You know, it's like, these guys are crazy. You know? Now, you need to know, I believe God heals. You know, I believe God still does miracles. Somebody asked me, does God still do miracles? And are miracles limited? You want to know? I don't think miracles are unlimited. I think God can do miracles anytime and always does. I think miracles, you know. But I want to make sure it's not, well, you're going to come forward and we're going to pray for you. It says anoint with oil. We're going to talk about that as we go through the message. We're going to anoint with oil. Oil don't heal you. My hands and our hands laying on you don't heal you. My prayers don't heal you. Who heals you? God. Who has that? Jesus. So we got to come through Jesus. I want to make sure I lay this. There's some conditions to healing. But it starts when you are part of the family of God. In the name of Jesus, you got his credit. You know, if you want to go buy a house, you need a co-signer. I got Jesus. Anybody got Jesus as a co-signer? I can get anything. You know what? I got a cow. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills, man. That's all right. You guys all know my favorite verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. You know what 4:19 is? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. They're not written down there. That this you got to memorize. Aren't you supposed to memorize some verses? Is it good to memorize? Mm-hmm. See, God does that. But there are some conditions. But here's some of the thing. When you do that in his name, you can't be embarrassed about that. I wanted to put this in. Now, again, I became a Christian at 7. All right. And before I became a Christian, I thought Christians were nerds. Anybody think Christians are nerds? Nobody's raising their hand in here on that one. Yeah. Before I became a Christian, I thought Christians were weird. Anybody? Yeah. I thought Christians were kind of, they didn't know how to use words right. Man, I could string some really good words together. Those four-letter words, I knew how to use those things well. Yeah. But when I became a Christian, all of a sudden, it's like, I got to tell my friends I'm a Christian. That can be a little embarrassing. How do you know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, you're a Christian? And you're going to church? You ever had anybody ask you this? Let me ask you this. Anybody ask you, how was your weekend? Well, I really didn't do anything. No, you went to church. Are you afraid to tell somebody you went to church on Sunday? Am I meddling now? I'm sorry. Yeah. I go to the dentist. I like my dentist appointments on Monday. You need to know that. When I go to the dentist, I'm going to go on Monday. You know why? Yeah, they're going to do any drilling. I want to be ready for Sunday, all right? But they always ask me Monday morning when I get in the chair. What did you do this weekend? Well, I didn't do anything. No, I went to church. Where did you go? Yeah. You can't be ashamed of God. There's too many Christians in the secret army of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. And when I was a beginning Christian as a teenager, I memorized this verse because it spoke to me as a Christian, because I had to really think about it. Look at what it says. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And I memorized, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven. That's what I memorized as a teenager. Can we be ashamed of God? I'm going to tell you, tomorrow, when somebody asks you, what did you do in this weekend? Somebody this week, when somebody says, what did you do this weekend? Will you tell them, I went to church? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you say, yeah, I heard some crazy preacher. You can tell them I'm crazy. It don't bother me a bit. You know? We can't be ashamed. See, when you do that, then guess what? God can heal. Can God heal then? When you're his family and you're in his name and you're not ashamed of it. God, I'm here. I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, God. Can God do miracles then? Can God move? And then he goes on. He gives kind of four conditions. This is what I wanted to kind of concentrate on this morning. There's four conditions. If you want to, here's four things. You cross an invisible line. You're standing in the presence of God through Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of what God is doing in your life. And you're standing there. Now, here's these four conditions. So let's go through these rather quickly. Can we do that? Here's the first one. I admit I'm not in control. I'm a control freak. Anybody else a control freak? Anybody else willing to be honest and say I'm a control freak? I see some fingers pointing. You know, I am a control freak. That is just who I am. It's hard not to be in control. You know, I go somewhere. I can remember I'm going on a bus trip with the kids. You know, they ask for a parent to go get on the bus. My mind is already going, okay, if there's an accident, how can I get these kids out of this bus? It's not my job, but somebody's going to do it. I'm going to do it. You know, if somebody delays, I'm jumping in. You know, but in life, I need to tell you something. I'm not in control. I'm not. The first thing we got to admit is this. God's God and I'm not. Anybody on board with that one? Can you let God be God? If you want a healing, you got to realize, you got to step back and realize, you know what? God's got to be the one in control. God's got to be the one moving. So how do you do that? Here's a verse that I give you. Then if my people are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. You got to be willing to be humble. You can't walk into God and say, God, I'm your child. Heal me. God, heal my marriage. God, straighten my finances. I demand you do that. I'm your child now, God. Anybody got arrogancy like that? Most of us would never even dream of that. How about disrespectful? Hey, Big Daddy, I need some help down here. Yeah. He's Lord. He's God. A little respect is due to God. You know, you don't have to keep all sorts of fancy words on it. You can say Father. You can say Abba. You can say, Dear Lord, I'm, you know. But we need to come humbly before God. We need to step into God's presence and just humbly. God, this is going on in my life, and it's hurting. And I can't control it. I can't control what my mind is telling me. I can't control what this marriage is doing to me. Control to the body that's going crazy in my life. God, I can't do, we got to come to that point. God, you're in control. We got to humble ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what. Humbling yourself is not easy. Anybody like humble pie? Anybody ever eat humble pie? I made a note. I worked on this message yesterday. I come down to the church and I kind of made some notes. I went over the message yesterday and found some things where I need to humble myself. I don't know. These are just mine. You might think of yours, okay? These are some areas I need to humble myself. Let's see. What did I put here? I'm gonna be picky. You don't need to know all of them. Let's see here. I'm going to... I like this one. When treated poorly, I'm going to be quiet and patient and don't retaliate. Anybody wrestle with Facebook? I'm going to tell you, sometimes keeping my mouth shut is the hardest thing to do. Anybody in that one? Just shut your mouth, Gary. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't move. You know, if I'm going to be humble, sometimes I just have to sit back and let it go. So I put that one down. I put another one down here. As a pastor, you know, I get to preach, and sometimes you get criticism, okay? And that's neat to hear. I ask for that. I give you a blue card. I want to hear back from you. And so I wrote this one down. Accept criticism graciously. God, let me hear that with grace. They really mean, anybody ever get criticized? So I wrote that one down. Here's one for me that I take, and I last night at the dinner I thought about. I intentionally watch out for people who are kind of on the outsides. You know, some of the socially outcast people. You know, you go to, and there's somebody in the corner, nobody's talking to them. You know, I want to be one who goes over and visits those who maybe they're socially outcast. Maybe they're dressed different. Maybe they're saying things differently, and people kind of ostracize them. I want to be one who steps into that. I want to be humble enough to do that. Here's one I do. I do this even when I walk around Disney. I pick up trash wherever I'm at. You know, I'll be walking around. I'll just bend over and pick it up, throw it in the garbage can. I can't believe my kids live in Washington now. I'm going to tell you, it's real interesting. Their highways are clean in Washington. Do you guys know that? We live in California, and it's a trash bin. You know, go down 99 and 5. Go up there. But you know what? It's real interesting. You drive across the bridge, and you go right out of Oregon into Washington. 6,000 littering fine. $6,000. It's like, whoa. Pay attention, guys. But there's nothing on the road. But I pick up trash. I got more here. I got a dozen of them here. But I don't know. What do you need to do to be humble? Those are just mine. These are things I need to pay attention to. It's easy for me. You know, I walk into events, and I'm on the school board. You know, I've been president of the school board, got a doctorate degree. Oh, Dr. Du. Give me a scalpel. I'll be a doctor. No, it's not my doctor. My name is Gary. I want to be known by Gary. But I'm going to tell you, you know, on my credit card, Laura put Dr. Gary L. Du on it. Because, you know, you go to a restaurant, guess what? It does pay a difference. You know? But we got to be humble. You guys know what I'm saying? We got to be humble. We are humble. There's some benefits to that, all right? We want God to heal us. Let me give you some benefits real quick, all right? Let me do these real quick. If I'm humble, God will guide me. Well, I know which way I got to go. I know what I need to do. Anybody? Or are you like me? God, I don't know which decision to make right here. I'm more like that. God, what do I need to do with this? God, how should I respond to this? God, I need you to guide me. God can only guide the humble. If you know where you're going, God's going to let you go. And if you're like me, most of the time when Gary goes his way, guess where Gary ends up? In a ditch. So we got to be humble and God to guide us. Look at what it says. He, God, leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. God can't guide the prideful. He can only guide the humble. How about the next one I put down here? If I'm humble, God will bless me. You know, if I don't need, why is God going to bless me? God, I got this. This is okay, God. No, I don't know that, God, it hurts, but just leave me alone. Anybody want just leave me alone. I'm going to do it my way. You know, most of the time when I do that, I know I'm already in trouble. You know, I've already cooked my goose. Man, I got some old, I'm getting old. You guys don't even know what a cooked goose is, you know. But see, we need to be humble. And when we are, God can bless us. Look again where it says, I, God, will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my words. You want a blessing? Be humble. How about the next one I put down here? If I'm humble, God will give me the power to change. Anybody ever tried changing something in your life? Is it hard? Is it hard trying to do something differently? I need God's help to do that. Let me give you a good word. You might want to write this word in there. It's called grace. See, God gives us the grace to change. Look at what it says. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You need to change. The next one I put down here, the last here, is if I'm humble, God will reduce my stress. Anybody live in a stressful world? Anybody have a heck of a week? Anybody got a heck of a week ahead of you? Anybody got some stress coming? You know, got somebody having a test. I think that's kind of stressful. You need a less stressful life? God can help you. I enjoy this verse right here. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Anybody need soul rest? Forget a nap. Forget a break. How about some soul rest, just some peace in the heart? That life is a sermon. Maybe you're in the midst of it right now, and things are all messed up, and you're just, how am I going to get out of this, and what am I going to do? To humbly sit down and say, you know, God, this is yours. This is yours. I'm not God, you are. I can't control this, you can't. And God, humbly I come, and it's yours. And that verse says you step into the yoke. What it's saying is you step in next to Jesus, and Jesus is going to carry it. That's what it really says. You want to pick a verse? Look at it this way. Jesus walked up beside you and said, hey, let me carry that with you. That's exactly what that verse says. So if we're going to have God do some healing in our lives, it's going to begin when we humble ourselves. Everybody on board with that one? Condition number one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. God, this is you. You're in control. You do your work. I'm not God. Let's see what you're going to do in my life right now. Does that sound okay? Condition number two. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. If you need something, if you need a renewal, you need a healing, you need an encouragement, if you need something, you need to ask. Now, here's the big question. How do you ask God? Anybody? You pray. You pray. That's what it says. If my people by my name will humble themselves and pray. I'm going to ask you, what's the last thing you ask God for? What's the last thing you ask God for? Think about that. What are you taking to God? What are you bringing to God? You know, let me tell you something. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. I love it. We've gone through this study, and Rick's talked about there's a warehouse in heaven with your name on the side. It says Gary Dew up there. Not Dr. Gary Dew. It just says Gary Dew, okay? God don't go by those titles. I'm Gary Dew to God. And there's a warehouse that says Gary Dew, stacked full of everything God has for me, just waiting. All I got to do is what? Ask. Ask. I like to aggravate people. Somebody calls on the phone and says, is Laura there? Yeah. I have a question. You ask if Laura's there. Yeah, she's there. Oh, you want to talk to her? Well, you didn't ask that. You know, I think God is the same. Ask. Now, I'm going to tell you, why does God want you to ask? Because he wants you to beg. God doesn't want you to beg. God doesn't want you to plead. God, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you, God. He doesn't want that. What he wants you to do is he wants you to know where it came from. He wants you to know, you can trust me. When I ask God and he gives it, I know I can. I don't know about you, but I've been seeing God do a lot of things lately. God's been busy. Not in my life. I get cards. I'm watching stuff on Facebook. I'm reading things you guys send me. God's up to some great things right now. Some of you guys are asking for some good stuff. All we got to do is ask. We got to ask. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and ask. God's waiting. But how do you do? I got five tips real quick on how to. All right. How do you ask God? How are you going to go ask God? And how can you have confidence? Because I want to show you, I'm going to humbly ask, but I'm going to humbly ask with confidence. Not arrogantly. Not pridefully, but confidently. Here's what it says. In that day, you will not ask me for anything. But I tell you the truth. My Father will give you anything you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and receive so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. Over 20 times, Jesus tells us to ask. Did you know that in the New Testament? 20 times we're told to ask, and he wants us to trust. So I put it this way. Remember, Jesus wants me to ask. He wants you to ask. ask. What's the last thing you ask God for? When you ask, you learn to trust God. You learn to trust His wisdom. You learn to trust grace. You learn to trust His decisions, that God knows what's best. All right? And then you ask in His name. You know, you ask God, and then you ask in His name. Is that second point there? You know, ask Jesus in His name. Now, I want to make sure you notice something. It doesn't say, if you look back at that verse, it doesn't say God's going to give you everything. But it says you can ask for anything. See, here's what you need to trust God about. When you're asking God for anything and God gives you everything you need, what you're getting is what God thinks is best for you. And you're learning to trust that God knows what's best for you. Has anybody besides me, now this is me, that I've asked for some stuff and I'm thankful I didn't get it? You know, it's like, okay, God, I trust you. You know, I thought that was the best. I thought that's what I wanted. Sure thankful He didn't do it. See, we're learning to trust God. When we're asking in His name, we're learning to trust God. We're learning to let God move and to let Jesus name. And it's in Jesus' name. It's not me. And I'm trusting God. You know, here's the best thing to do. Here, let me tell you, the best way to do this is ask God for anything. Just ask God for anything and let Him figure it out. Is that okay? God, you figure it out. This is what I think I need. This is what I think I want. This is the direction I'm going, God. Figure it out and let me know what's going on. Is that kind of nice? Especially when He knows the future. And He knows what you really need in the future. And so we pray and we ask and we seek and let God work there. So there's the first two. Two out of five. Let's look at the next two. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call the elder church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of a offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Underline that. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Here's the first point. Get other people praying with you. You don't have to pray alone, okay? Get other people praying with you. Let others pray. Ask somebody to pray. It doesn't have, here, just so you know, this is going to be the motto verse for Friday night, or Saturday, excuse me, Saturday night. That's the motto verse. The practice we're going to do Saturday night is based on this verse right here. Call the elders, come before God, anoint with oil, lay your hands on them and pray for them. And so the first thing we're going to do is you got to pray for others. You got to get others praying. You got to share with others. Anybody ever share prayer? You ever share your prayer requests? I know I love my prayer. I love my body groups. We're always making a list and praying for one another. Anybody got your little prayer thing we're using for our 40-day study? Anybody got filled out in the back all those prayer requests in the back? Praying for one another. You know, I just texted a bunch of the kids this morning. I texted my three grandkids and another girl that's kind of like a granddaughter. I texted them this morning. I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm still praying for you. Text my grandkids, you know, my daughter's got a boyfriend now, or I don't know if he's a boyfriend or not, but I said, I'm praying for you, friend. I don't know, you know, she's 18. It's like, oh, Lord. Yeah. But I've been praying for, you need to know that. I've been praying for that boy since that girl was born. So if that's the right one, he needs to know he's been prayed for a whole lot. All right? I'm praying for my grandkids. Anybody else pray for your grandkids? You know, anybody else pray for your kids? You know, I'm the pastor. I pray for you guys. I love the blue cards when you guys give them to me. I love the chance to pray for you. When you trust me to pray for you, I love that opportunity, and I do. They sit on my desk, and I pray over them every day. And we pray, so we need to get others to pray for us, and that's going to be the first point. It'll be on the screen in a minute, and that'll be the first point. The second one's going to come up in just a second, too. Believe and expect God to answer. In faith, God will do it. Expect God to answer. Do you expect God to do anything? I'm asking, but I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll just see. We'll throw it out there and see what sticks to the wall. Anybody ever? I'm gonna throw this prayer out there and see if it sticks, God. Expect God to answer. Believe and expect God to answer. God does, and He will. Now again, He will give you what's best. Let him figure it out. Ask for anything and let him figure out what's best for you. I look at my life, and this week, just so you know, I look at my life and I Ted leased a car for me. All right, let me lay this out for you. The church at leased a car for me for 3 years. All right. The lease is up. It ended this month, or last month, February. It ended last month. I didn't have enough money to buy the car. All right, so what am I going to do? How am I going to do that? You know, about 2 months ago, trying to figure out what to do. When my dad passed away, my sister calls me and says, I'm taking some money from my son's wedding out of my dad's trust, and I'm going to give you the same amount. So she sends the same amount. Guess how much it was? Can you believe? I mean, just accidentally, it's the same amount of money I needed to get the car. Can you believe an accident? Unbelievable accidents happen like that. I'm being sarcastic, right? I hope you guys nod your head. He's being sarcastic. My sister divided up. I didn't ask. She just says, I'm getting this for my son's wedding. He's getting married in January. I want you to have this too. Whatever I take, I'm giving to you. Always a check. Put it in the bank. Now I got me a car. And let me tell you something. I look at my life. I got less than 2 years to pay on my house. I have no credit card debt. And I have a car that's paid for with 40,000 miles on. Anybody blessed? No. God, I didn't expect that. But you know what? God does the unexpected, doesn't he? You got to believe, God, I need this. See, we see that. Let me get this last point real quick. Here's the scripture. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all good people. Man, there's a lot of alls in there, isn't there? He's saying you got to be tenacious. You keep on praying till God tells you to stop. Does that sound okay? You keep on praying until God tells you to stop. You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray until God tells you to stop. Like I said, I've been praying for my grandkids. Just so you know, I pray for your kids too. Many of yours by name. I pray for them, and I ask God to protect them, to make them wise, to make wise choices, to help them be godly, and to give them a godly spouse. I've been praying that. My granddaughter's 18 years old, so guess what? I've been praying that for 18 years. The other one's 17. I've been praying it for 17 years. I got a 7-year-old. I've been praying it for years. I'm praying. I'm not going to quit praying. And then after they get married, guess what I'm going to be praying? God protect their marriage. God bless their marriage. Anybody on board with what I'm talking about? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to keep praying. And I'm not going to stop praying until God says, Gary, that's over. Now, there's some things God said, Gary, you stop praying. You know, don't go there. All right, God, you got it. I'm bullheaded, control freak, but I'm going to let you have that. God's in control. So if you want God to answer your prayers, what do you got to do? Remember, you're in the family. You humbly pray. Does that make sense? What's the third one here? Seek God, not a miracle. Then, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek a miracle. And seek what? Seek his face. We seek the miracles. We seek the blessings. I'm one. I want God to move here. I want God to do this. We need to seek God's face. We seek God and let him do the rest. We seek God and let him move and let him speak and let him guide and let him direct. We need to learn to seek God and let God move and let God do the work. God move in their ways. And we need to understand that. It's what God does. So I'm going to ask you, are you seeking God? Or are you seeking miracles? Do you want God for what he can do for you? Or do you want God for who he is? Think about that. Are you seeking God for what he can do for you? Or are you seeking God for who he is? We need to seek God's face. And look at what it says here. And without, I love those who and those who seek me find me. God's not playing hide and seek. If anybody plays hide and seek, it was Adam and Eve. Is anybody like Adam and Eve here? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever did that with God? God, I'm just going to kind of hide over here. I'm just going to go do my thing over here. Don't look. How about this next one? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without what? Faith. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Why don't you circle earnestly? You got to seek God. It's God in my spare time. I go to church when I feel like it. Anybody on board with that? Don't raise your hand. God, I'll seek you on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. If the preacher goes long, I'm walking out. I should have left last week, right? God, when I time after this television show, God, I'll pray. God, when I finish this, I'll seek you. Last week, Fred got up here and played his saxophone. I love the saxophone. And I enjoy Fred playing. I was talking with him this week, and his wife says, you know how often Fred practices? Anybody got an idea? Every day. No wonder he plays so well. You know how much I practice a saxophone? Never. You know how much I would play like? Yeah, uh-huh. Then how can we think, well, I'm going to be really good at this, and I'm going to practice, right? But I'm not going to pray that much. I'm not going to seek God that way. Does that make sense? You know, I appreciate Fred. I enjoy the sax, Fred. I want you to know that. I really enjoy it. But he has to work hard at that. How hard are you working at seeing God? My spare time? When I get through it? We'll see. You know, when I go to bed, I'll pray when I go to bed, and you'll pray 3 minutes, and then you're out. I had a three-minute prayer today. I did good. I think we had a good time last week. Go back and look at last week's message. Yes, it was a rather long message last week. But go back and look at how to spend a day with God. Wasn't that a good message? How do you spend a day with God from the time you get up to the seven times when you go? There's seven times you can be in an encounter with God. Go back and look at last week's message. It'll be up on the line pretty soon on the internet. Check it out. See what God has done and see what God does. We need to do that. You got to earnestly seek God. God's not a part-time God. And you shouldn't be a part-time believer. How about this next verse? It says, the Lord looks down from heaven and the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks him. I'm going to ask, what does God see when he... Am I being mean? I hope not. I hope not. I hope God sees you seek him earnestly. Let's look at this next verse. I'm going through them quick. Can we keep up with me here? But if from there you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Seek him with all your heart, all of it. Seek him. And seek him first. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. I'm going to ask you, what do you need? Anybody seeking money? Anybody seeking a better job? Anybody seeking a boyfriend, a girlfriend? Anybody seeking some other kind of relationship? What are you seeking? Here's the key. Seek God, and this verse says he'll give you the rest. Isn't that nice? Put God first, and everything else falls into place. Does that work? Anybody think? Does anybody think that works? You put God first, everything falls into place. We need to do that. Let me get my last point real quick here. Turn my attention from the world to the Word. Turn my attention from the world to the world. Again, here's what it says. Then if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. Anybody here wicked? Nobody's raising their hand, thankfully. I say the word wicked, and the first thing, I don't know about you, but the first thing I thought about was the Broadway show. Anybody go see the Broadway show, Wicked? I wanted to see it. I didn't ever get to see it. You know, I wanted to see that play. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? We say the word wicked, and what do you think of? Bad people, right? I'm bad, but I'm not wicked. Anybody? I can be bad, but I'm not wicked. Wicked are those evil people, you know? They're the terrorists. They're the sexual abusers. You know, wicked are the murderers. They're the wicked ones. Let me give you the right. I want you to write this down. Here's what the Bible calls wicked. All right, write this down. Forgetting God. All right? Wickedness is when you forget God. Because let me tell you, where does wickedness start? When you forget God, you start going wrong. Am I right? When you forget God, you start doing things you know you shouldn't. You just ignore God. You push God off. I'm doing my thing. I'm going my way. And you forget God. Wickedness is when we forget God. Look at what it says here. You have forgotten the God who saves you. You have not remembered that God is your place of safety. Are we forgetting God? See, we get caught up into our world and our jobs and the money and savings and this is what makes me safe. You know, I got a nice warm house and I got a nice car and I got nice clothes and I got nice money. Not a lot of it, but I got money and I'm comfortable and we get comfortable and so I'm safe. And then there's a recession and the housing market collapses and now the world's all turned upside down. Now where's our safety? You know, they always talk about a safety net. Anybody need a safety? I don't need a safety net. I got God. You know what I'm saying? We need to see that. And so we have God and we turn to Him. And so we got to turn to Him. And let me give you the Bible word for turn. We got to turn from wickedness. The Bible word for turn is repentance. You ever hear that word at church? Maybe you've seen a guy on the street corner. Return, repent, turn or burn. You ever seen a guy holding a sign like that? You know, that's the negative side. That's not what, you know, I don't want to, that repentance is submitting to the face of God. It's the good part. I'm turning from evil to righteousness. I'm turning from darkness to light. I'm turning from a dark world to the kingdom of God. That's what turning is. Look at what it says here in Acts. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. I like that, wiped out. Forgiven, wiped out, taken away. Repent. It's not a negative term. Look at what it says again in Proverbs. If you hide your sins, you will not succeed. I got a little statement for you. Your sins will always find you out. Guaranteed. Okay? I guarantee. I have things that I've learned, not from me, but situations. It took 40 years, but you know what? The story still came out 40 years later. Anybody been in one of those situations? It seems, man, somebody always lets it go. If you hide your sins, you will not succeed. If you confess and reject them, you receive mercy. Anybody want mercy? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you when you believe. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Does that sound okay? You want healing? You want God to move in your life and to touch you and to mercy move in your life? He is still a God who does miracles. He still moves. But there's some conditions. Okay? It's not for everybody. It's for those in the family of God who call upon His name. He's in control, not you. Just humble yourself and pray. And seek God and turn from your wickedness. And you'll find healing. Is that easy? Is it complicated? And God wants to move. And then here's your promises. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and restore their land. And I made it real quick. If you just go right through these. I will hear from heaven. You can fill this out without even popping up on the screen. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Anyone here need a healing? We're going to take our time on Friday, Saturday, okay? So I'm inviting you to Saturday for a specific service. And we're going to take our time, and we're going to pray for healings, physical healing, emotional healing, financial healing, whatever people come with, we're going to pray here. I've got people outlined. Some are going to be watching and monitoring the systems, and some are going to be up here praying, and we're going to spend time. But I want to pray right now. I want to pray for you, but I'm inviting you to make sure you know you're welcome to come on Saturday. But let's bow our heads right now. I don't know where you're at, but God knows where you're at. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not here by accident this morning. God knew you would be here specifically for this message. This message may have been just for you. I don't know. But I do know this, that God wants to do things. And you're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, will you go humbly before Him? Will you pray right now? Will you seek His face, and not that miracle, but seek His face, that He may do a miracle? Will you turn? Return to Him. Jesus, thank You for making us part of Your family, for giving us the privilege of being children of God. Thank You that we can come to the Father, a loving Father who's waiting to hear. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, like I said, we're going to have something Friday, but right now, Saturday, but right now, you want me to pray for you and say, God, I need a healing, and you just tell God what it is. Will you shoot your hand up and say, God, I need a healing. Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a family, maybe it's a broken heart, maybe it's finances, I don't know. I see those hands. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Whatever it is, just shoot your hand up and say, would you pray? Now, you tell God that. God, You hear the voices of Your children right now. You hear the heart's cry right now. We humbly come asking that You reach down Your hand. We seek You in prayer, Lord. We seek Your face, that You may touch hearts, touch the wounds, touch the hurts. Lord, if it's mental, lay Your hand upon the mind. If it's physical, touch that wound, touch that hurt. Lord, if it's a broken relationship, reach down and minister and bind up and lift up those relationships. If it's financial, find ways, Lord, to provide for those needs. Lord, You're a God who heals. You've asked us to come. And so I come into Your presence with these. They've lifted their hands. They've lifted their hearts. They've set them before You. Humbly, Lord, You're in control. We seek Your will, not ours. You figure it out, Lord. We just bring it. You figure each one out. You do the good. You do the right. And You make it right in their lives. And whatever it is, Lord, we know that You cause things to work together for good. Even the bad works for good. So we bring it all before You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.